He said, even though he has nothing to accomplish in this world, because he is Sakshat Bhagavan himself, he is the Lord, there is nothing to be accomplished for him here. He has nothing to strive to reach moksha also. He has to be still in the field of karma, in the field of activity. For what? For the sake of the upliftment of the world. For the sake of loka sangraha. So that he can set a good example. So that even though he is Lord himself who has taken this avatara, but having been born as a grahastha, a family person, and also a kshatriya, a king, he has to do his duty also. Even though he is Lord, he has to still do, he has to be still in the field of activity. So he told in the 23rd shloka, what will happen if he does not follow the rules of dharma himself? Yadi aham karmani na varteyam. If I do not remain in the field of action, karmani na varteyam, and that to what? Atantritaha, without laziness, without alertness, tirelessly, relentlessly. If I am not there, then what will happen? Manushyaha mama vartma anuvartante. All the people, manushyaha, they will also follow my path. Vartma means path, path or way of life. Sarvashaha, by all means, they will try to find every excuse to follow what I am doing wrong. That's what they will do. Jatu means always. So especially in the negative things only, they will try to follow me all the time. Because we all have some weakness or the other. Human beings, everybody has some weakness or the other. And when the elders also show similar weakness, we try to justify our behavior, quoting the weakness of the elder. Even though he is elderly person, a great person, he also did something like this. Why not me? I am after all a small person. People always try to find some excuse or the other. That is why the elders should take extra responsibility. They should be extra careful to make sure. Parents always have to take extra responsibility to behave properly, especially in presence of children. So Krishna says, Mama Vartman Vartante Manushyaha Partha Sarvashaha. By all means, they will do the same thing, whatever I am doing, especially the wrong things. Now Sloka 24. Utside Yurime Shloka.
Utside Yurime Shloka.
Na kuryam karma chedaham.
Na kuryam karma chedaham. Na kuryam karma chedaham.
Utside yurime loka. Na kuryam karma chedaham.
Utside yurime loka. Na kuryam karma chedaham. Utside yurime loka. Na kuryam karma chedaham.
Sankarasya cha kartasyam. Upahanyami ma prajaha. So here Krishna says, what damage will be done if he himself violates the rule of dharma, or for that matter, any person, any Shrestha Purushaha, any person of responsibility, any person in power, any person in some high position, if they violate the rule, what will happen? So when one person violates the rule, that itself is not going to cause a big damage to the system immediately. When any one person makes one violation, it is not going to cause a big damage. But generally, when one person alone, he does not violate, when he violates, so many other people use it as a justification to violate themselves. So that's what's going to happen. It's like a traffic jam. Only one guy, you know, he maybe some heart attack victim is there in the car. He doesn't stop for a red light, he goes through. But the other people don't know. He may have a justifiable reason to go fast. But all the others, they think maybe the light is not working. He will justify himself. Light may be working. Maybe it's not working, so let me go. Everybody will go. So it is going to cause chaos in the system. So same thing for everything. One sip of alcohol is enough. Only one sip, what it is going to do to me. So one smoke. People always make that one mistake. And when that one mistake happens in company, it is going to definitely infiltrate through everybody else, and people are going to follow that thing. Because negative things are appealing, because people have always have some weakness or the other. So So Krishna says, one man violating is not the question immediately. It will not immediately affect perhaps, but we have to imagine what will happen after some time if everybody also justify and they violate. For example, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, you can cut only one tree. Only one tree I am cutting. You think of all the 5.1 billion, thinking that we have one tree only. So that's what will happen. So this is always accepting this as a genuine case, everybody will think that they can also justify. And so Krishna says, Ime lokaha utsedeyuhu. Utsedeyuhu means they will perish, the entire manishyas, the entire system, the whole world, the entire humankind will perish if people do not follow that dharma properly. Aham karma na kurya chede. If I do not follow my duty, the whole world will perish. They will take me as an example. They will say, Krishna himself did that on that day, why not me? Actually, a lot of people justify it. They don't take Vishwamitra as a great rishi. They will take Vishwamitra, you know, he also had a weakness, you know, he went with this Menaka. They want to justify. No problem. Durvasa, you know, he's a great rishi. He also is an angry man. But he didn't conquer anger. Normally, people want to justify. Think of me as a poor person. If Durvasa could not conquer anger, how I can? You know, all these things they will justify because one person makes a violation. So this can be actually explained in several ways. If we take Krishna as the Lord himself, then what is his duty? His duties are three duties: Srishti, Sthiti, and Life. These are the three main duties. This, and especially the Sthiti aspect, the maintenance of the cosmic system. That is the aspect. So can the Lord get bored in that? Yeah, same thing he is doing day in and day out. You know, we get bored many times. You know, same thing I have to cook in the morning, sambar, rasam. Every day I have to cook. Can I get bored one day? Now we can get bored. We can go to a restaurant perhaps. But the Lord cannot get bored at all. He has to do Srishti, he has to do Sthiti, he has to do Lyam. He can never get bored at all. He has to keep on doing his duty. So when it comes to doing one's duty, one cannot say I am bored. It is duty. Period. I have to fulfill my duties regardless of whether I am this, that and all. Doesn't matter. I have to fulfill my duty. And Lord's duties are so many. Nigraha, Anugraha, both are his duty. He has to bless. At the same time, he has to also, you know, destroy things. Evil things have to be destroyed. That should be this locomotion continuing. So he has to do all these things. So he has to take avatars sometimes. So sometimes he has to take a Rama avatar, he has to take a Krishna avatar. There are so many evil forces. To destroy them, he has to come into the world. So all these things he has to keep on doing. If he doesn't do, what will happen? The entire world, the entire creation will suffer. So the Lord can never say, I am bored, let me not violate this. He cannot, for doing his duty, the Lord has to always be upon it every time. So where Krishna is talking as God, he is talking the entire thing as a world. Then, for example, if Krishna talks as a Kshatriya, okay, not as a God. God has so many. Let us imagine Krishna only as a Kshatriya, as a Grahastha. Then if he doesn't do his duty, then also he will be causing a lot of damage to the system. How can we say that? If you exercise our thinking, what will happen? Every time if you want to argue in the same manner, I am only violating once, I am only violating twice, if every person does that, it is going to cause only havoc in the Srishti. So all the 5 billion people are going to take that as the example and follow. So in terms of cosmic repercussion, as a Lord, he has to do his duty. As a person, as a Kshatriya, as a Grahastha also, he has to maintain duty. If he violates Kshatriya's duty, what will happen? Then the Brahmanas are all under his kingdom. So they will say, King Kshatriya, he is not doing his duty. So the Brahmana will violate his duty. The Vaishyas will violate their duty. Everybody in the system will violate their duty. So if everybody in the system violate their duty, there will be only utter confusion. There will be only chaos. So he says, Sankaraha. Sankaraha means this confusion in the harmony of the system. When a person violates the duty, the confusion caused in the harmony of the system, that chaotic condition. There will be utter confusion only in society. So wrong responsibilities people will be taking. A person, whatever he sees responsible, he will not take that. Somebody else's work always is more appealing to me. Right? So always I will try to do his work. I have my own work. Instead of fulfilling my work, I think his work is more appealing. So maybe that gives him some publicity or maybe some fame, whatever. So you would like to do that job only. You do your job first correctly. Once you do your job first correctly, if that person needs help, help him. You can work with him, no problem. But you do not do it at the expense of your own work. So you're on duty, you cannot, you can never compromise on that. So Sankarasya Chakartasyam. I will be the first one to make a wrong note in the rhythm of creation, in the harmony of creation. If I violate, I will be the first one to make. So in the link, if this one link is going to be bad, the entire link is going to be bad. So Ima Prajaha Upahanya, and I will be destroying all the people, but it won't be a sudden destruction, just like that. It is going to take some time. It is going to be a slow destruction, but the world, one day or the other, is going to pay a very heavy price because somebody in a position of responsibility, he violated the system. Sakta Karmanya Vidvamsaha.
Sakta Karmanya Vidvamsaha. Sakta Karmanya Vidvamsaha.
Yatha Kurvanti Bharata.
Yatha Kurvanti Bharata. Yatha Kurvanti Bharata.
Sakta Karmanya Vidvamsaha. Yatha Kurvanti Bharata.
Sakta Karmanya Vidvamsaha. Yatha Kurvanti Bharata. Sakta Karmanya Vidvamsaha. Yatha Kurvanti Bharata.
Kuryat Vidvamsata Saktaha.
Kuryat Vidvamsata Saktaha. Kuryat Vidvamsata Saktaha.
Chikirshur Loka Sangraham.
Chikirshur Loka Sangraham.
Vidvamstatasaktah Chikirshur Loka Sangraham.
Kuryat Vidvamstatasaktah Chikirshur Loka Sangraham. Kuryat Vidvamstatasaktah Chikirshur Loka Sangraham.
Now when we classified the topics, what we said now, okay, as Arjuna as an Ajnani, a person who is not evolved, okay, he has to do karma, he has to do karma yoga, then he has to evolve. That's what we said. But later we said, if Arjuna is a Jnani, if he is a very evolved person, he is a wise person already, then why should he should do karma? That is the topic we are discussing now. So for which we said, Loka Sangraha is important for the sake of upliftment of the world, you have to do the work. So now Krishna is now continuing the discussion. If he is a Jnani and he has reached the destination, he is a Jnani. Jnani means he has reached moksha. He has already reached the destination, then should he still be doing his duty or not? That is the question we are now trying to address. Arjuna may argue what he can argue for the sake of Loka Sangraha. Okay, if I also begin to do the karma, for the sake of upliftment of the world, I have to do karma, you are saying, okay, I'll do it. But will that karma not bind me? That question he might ask. Because he has become a jnani now. As a jnani, he doesn't have to do it because karma bandhanam, no more karma bandhanam for him. But if he starts to do karma now, will that karma bind him with punya papa or not? That he may have that doubt. He may have that question. So, for example, when you rescue a person from a mud, you get into the mud too, you get muddy. So you want to rescue the world, you want to do for the upliftment of the world, you are doing so many karmas, but the entire world is full of, you know, punya papas karmas only. So when you get into the field of karma, you will also be stained by the karma. Is it possible for me to get stained like that? So question is what? If Arjuna also enters the field of karma, will he not be also bound by his own karma, by his own activities, and will he not also suffer by the punyam and papam arising out of that karma phalam? That is the question. So, is it not better then to stay away from society? Don't do any karma, no problem, no binding. Only when you do karma, all this binding comes. No karma, secular, become a sannyasi, sit elsewhere, no problem. So, can he do like that? So, in the name of rescuing, I will also be caught in the field of karma that can be the fear of Arjuna, of anybody perhaps. So if Arjuna argues this way, then Krishna says, no, that problem will never arise. Krishna assures that problem will never arise. Even if you are a jnani, and even if you have to do work, that problem of getting bound by the karma palam of the karma that you are doing will never arise if you are a jnani doing for Loka Sangraha. So when jnani enters the field of karma for the sake of Loka Sangraha, his attitude is totally different. We have to understand this very carefully. For a karma yogi and a jnani, this is the fundamental difference. For a karma yogi, when he does karma, karma yogi is also, he is doing karma, but with the attitude of doing, you know, offering it to the Lord. But he thinks he is the doer. He has got the kartrutva buddhi, I am the doer attitude. Whereas in the case of a jnani, jnani never has the attitude, aham karta, never. He never has that attitude. So because the attitudes are different between a jnani and an ajnani, when an ajnani, an ignorant person, when he does karma, the karma will bind him. A karma yogi also is an ajnani only, I have told many times. Karma yogi is also an ajnani only, he is an ignorant person. But when a jnani, when he is aware, a wise person does karma, he does it with a totally different attitude. It is not going to bind him. Okay? So, Krishna, so he says, one has attachment. Who has attachment? The ajnani has attachment. Ajnani, karma yogi has attachment, while the other, the jnani, has detachment. That's what he says. So, and as an ajnani, as an ignorant person, when this person acts in society, he is interested in the outcome of his action. Whatever action he does, that may be an action for the sake of the public. He still wants to succeed in that action. He is interested in the outcome of that action. He can be affected by the success and failure of that action. Who? An ajnani. He can be affected by the success and failure of the action. If it is incomplete, he will be disappointed also. If this success failure is not there, he is going to be disappointed. But in the case of a jnani, he is totally detached by the outcome of his own action. So Arjuna, you also involve in action, but make sure that you are 100% detached from that action. From that action means from the phalam of the action, from the results of the action. So for example, if you want to play with your child, your child wants to play something with you. For the child, that play is most important. The child is very important. And now you are playing. On that day, perhaps the neighbor did not come. You have some free gossip time, so you want to play with the child. There's no problem. But when you play with the child, how you are playing? You are playing as if you are like a match with the child. You are trying to compete with the child. You have to put all the interest to play with the child. If you don't do what the child will say, Dad, make sure you are playing very well. The child is going to be disappointed if you are not putting your effort properly. But internally, all the time you are aware, this you are doing it for fun. This you are doing it as a game. So this you are going to do please to the child. That's what you are thinking all the time. So the success, or you may even fail sometimes. You may want to deliberately fail. To make the child feel happy, you may want to deliberately fail also. But all the time you know this is a game. You are totally detached from the game, but you are still playing the game. That is what a jnani does. When a jnani does action in the field of activity in the world, he is totally detached from those actions. He thinks this is, in the field of activity, I'm just doing it. So he doesn't have any attachment to the phalam, the result of that action or the action itself. Okay, so for the father, it's a whole game. For the son, for the child, it is the most important thing. So the child will even claim that I won, I defeated my father. He may claim all those things, no problem. So same way, jnani also, he will come into society. He will do karma also. But the difference is, he is asaktaha, asangaha. He is not affected by it. He is totally detached from the karma phalam and the action. So he may plan an ashrama, no problem. He may want to build an ashrama, no problem. He can do that. He may not plan also. And the ashrama may come up very well. He started to it, may come up very well. But he may not come also. Nothing affects him. Or one day, okay, he has to close it, he will close it. He has no emotional relationship with that ashrama. He put all the effort to build it, fine. One day he has to walk out, he will walk out. That's what a jnani does. So this person is detached. So Arjuna, if you are a jnani, you should also involve in the worldly activities. Because you are in the field of activities. You are in the real world. You cannot say, I will escape from action. You have to engage yourself in activity all the time for the sake of loka sangraha. And you should make sure that you are totally detached from any of those activities. But if you get involved in the karma and gets attached to the whatever karma, whether it is an ashrama also, after being a sannyasi, you get attached to the sannyasi ashrama, even that person, he has to worry only. If you are attached to the sannyasi ashrama, if you are attached to it, you have to worry. There's no choice. That's what it is binding. So exactly as a grahastha, where there is attachment, the sannyasi also, in spite of becoming a sannyasi, because he has attachment, he will also worry. He will not be without worry because he still has attachment. He is not detached yet. So he says, అద్విద్వాంసః అవిద్వాంసః యథా కర్మాణి కుర్వంతి. విద్వాంసః అవిద్వాంసః, ది ఆపోజిట్ ఆఫ్ దట్. సో ది ఇగ్నరెంట్ పర్సన్, యాజ్ ద ఇగ్నరెంట్ పీపుల్ రిమైన్ ఆర్ పర్ఫార్మ్ యాక్షన్స్, హౌ? సక్తాః, విత్ అటాచ్మెంట్. యాజ్ ద ఇగ్నరెంట్ పీపుల్ పర్ఫార్మ్ యాక్షన్ విత్ అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ టు లుక్ కాన్సన్ట్రేటింగ్ ఆన్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆల్సో, దే డూ ఇట్ సిన్సియర్లీ ఎక్స్పెక్టింగ్ సమ్ బెనిఫిట్. దే డూ యాక్షన్ తథా ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే విత్ ద సేమ్ సిన్సిరిటీ విద్వాన్ కుర్యాత్. యాజ్ ది ఇగ్నరెంట్ పర్సన్ డస్ ది యాక్షన్ విత్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ అండ్ ఇన్వాల్వ్మెంట్ ఎక్స్పెక్టింగ్ ఎ రిజల్ట్, ది జ్ఞాని ఆల్సో, ది వైస్ పర్సన్ ఆల్సో డస్ ద యాక్షన్ విత్ ది సేమ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్, విత్ ద సేమ్ సిన్సిరిటీ. హీ ఆల్సో డస్ ద కర్మ. ఫర్ వాట్ పర్పస్ హీ డస్? బట్ లోక సంగ్రహం చికీర్షు, విత్ ది ఐడియా ఆఫ్ అప్లిఫ్టింగ్ ద వరల్డ్. హీ హాస్ నథింగ్ పర్సనల్ టు గెయిన్. He has nothing personal, no personal agenda at all for him. He is doing only for the common good, for the upliftment of the world. However much he is sincere, in the heart of hearts, he must have detachment. He will put all his best effort. Everybody will think, oh, what a great man. He is so attached to his whatever job he is doing. No, he has no attachment period. If he has to walk out of it, he will just walk out of it without any trace. It will not affect him at all emotionally. So, asaktahasan. Inside, there should be total detachment for this jnani. But there must be sincere effort though. You cannot say, oh, I'm detached, so it's all right, chalta hai. No chalta hai business. You have to do it sincerely. Best foot has to be put forward. And in spite of it, you will have detachment. Like the play with the child. If you don't play with the child properly, the child is not going to be happy, the child will cry. You have to definitely play a good game. So, the jnani's happiness is not depending on the business, the action, whatever he does. No, it doesn't depend any of them. Whether it is failure of the business or success of the business, he is not going to be either damaged or he is not going to be exalted by this failure and success of the business. He knows, aham atmanyevam atmani tushtaha. We already have seen this thing earlier. Atmanyevam atmana tushtaha. Therefore, Krishna says, tata, in the same way, act sincerely but with detachment. Act sincerely, but with detachment. So common between both the jnani and ajnani is what? Activity is common. Sincerity is common. What is uncommon? Detachment is uncommon. So the activity is common, sincerity is common, effort is common, everything is common. Both of them have to do the same thing. But jnani does with detachment, ajnani does with attachment. So vidwan tata kuryat. Now we should remember again, throughout, you know, he is talking to Arjuna as if Arjuna is a jnani in these sections. He is talking to Arjuna as if Arjuna is a jnani. That is why he uses the word what? Vidwan kuryat. Vidwan means a jnani, a wise person. He does. Even if you are a vidwan, you still have to do activity. You still have to engage yourself in action. If you are an avidwan, if you are an ignorant person, no question. You have to be in activity anyway. Because only in activity you will become, only karma yoga will give you what? Purity of mind. To get purity of mind, chitta shuddhi, you have to be in the field of activity. You have to do it as a karma yogi. But here in the case of a jnani, still you have to be in action because that is for the upliftment of the world. But you do the action with detachment, 100% detachment. Na buddhi vedam janayet.
Na buddhi vedam janayet.
అజ్ఞానాం కర్మ సంగినాం.
అజ్ఞానాం కర్మ సంగినాం. అజ్ఞానాం కర్మ సంగినాం.
న బుద్ధి భేదం జనయేత్ అజ్ఞానాం కర్మ సంగినాం.
న బుద్ధి భేదం జనయేత్ అజ్ఞానాం కర్మ సంగినాం. న బుద్ధి భేదం జనయేత్ అజ్ఞానాం కర్మ సంగినాం.
జోషయేత్ సర్వ కర్మాణి. విద్వాన్ యుక్త సమాచరన్.
విద్వాన్ యుక్త సమాచరన్. విద్వాన్ యుక్త సమాచరన్.
జోషయేత్ సర్వ కర్మాణి. విద్వాన్ యుక్త సమాచరన్.
జోషయేత్ సర్వ కర్మాణి. విద్వాన్ యుక్త సమాచరన్. జోషయేత్ సర్వ కర్మాణి. విద్వాన్ యుక్త సమాచరన్.
Now the question may come now. Okay, jnani has to do work himself, fine, no problem. Loka sangraha, all those things are fine, he can do it. Then why should the jnani make others also do work? He can do work himself, will be done. Okay, Loka Sangraha is fine. Why should he also make others also do their duties? Is it the duty of a jnani to do that? That's the question. So throughout Krishna, what Krishna says, the world must do their duty. He always emphasizes, every person in the world should perform his or her duty. And for that, jnani must set an example. He says, a jnani is a wise person. So he should set an example to the world. Now, why at all the jnani should make all other people active? That question might arise. Perhaps might arise. After all, moksha is not going to be dependent on activity. Moksha is dependent on only jnana, only knowledge. It is not dependent on activity. We have already told. So, why not make everybody a sannyasi? Make them all sannyasi. Don't work. Be secluded life. Do tapas and have always jnana all the time. Try to only look for jnana all the time and go for moksha. You don't have to engage in activity at all. The jnani may say that, right? So, why not the jnani say a thing like that, and why should he make people engage in activities? After all, karma is not going to give liberation at all to anybody. And everybody has to ultimately come to only jnana marga, right? So, and if people do not perform duty, it is actually better only to some extent, because we can engage them in the study of Vedanta all the time. They don't have to do any other work, so they have all the free time. Read Vedanta, right? That's easy. Come to the class all the time because you have nothing else to do. Many times that happens also. Comes here. So, because we ourselves clearly say, na karmana, na prajaya, na dhanena, except only by tyaga, we can reach moksha. So, none of the activities, none of those things by either money, by either my own children, I'm not going to go moksha by any of these. Only by tyaga, by renunciation only, I go. By sacrifice only, I go. We always say that. So, tyaga alone takes me to moksha. Then why should the jnani engage people in the field of karma, in the field of activity at all? That question might come. Further, Krishna says, no doubt, karma does not give moksha. True. Jnana alone gives moksha. That is true. Karma does not give moksha. But karma is very important to get what? To get maturity, to get chitta shuddhi, which is a necessary prerequisite for somebody to get liberated. So if chitta shuddhi, purity of mind is not there, a person cannot get liberated at all. So this is a prerequisite. This is a necessary condition. If this condition is not fulfilled, a person can never get liberation. Okay. So even though karma does not give moksha directly, but still karma or activity is the only method to get purity of mind. Chitta shuddhi. Or sadhana, chatushtaya sampatti, which you already told earlier, discriminative ability, viveka, vairagya, all those things we already told. So activity is the only medicine for maturity, for a person to become mature. That is why a seasoned grahastha, 60, 70 year old, having 5, 6 children, so many girls, so many boys, educated them, got them married, go through so many things, got him, you know, so many dents in life, 70 years, that person is, he thinks a little more calmly. He should expect it to be, perhaps. So that's what, because these are all in the life. Life has taught so many things to them. They have learned to be patient. They have learned to deal with their children. They have learned with their neighbors, with the people, colleagues in work. So all those things have put so many dents in their life, perhaps. They have learned life in a hard way. So chitta shuddhi will come. After some time, wherever you reacted earlier, later you think, oh, those reactions were all meaningless reactions. It will appear later. When you become more and more mature, you yourself will discount the reactions that you engaged in earlier. Somebody said something to you, you reacted violently perhaps. You later think what, how meaningless it was. All these things will come because of experience in life. Because of action, in the field of action, you will be able to get this experience which will give you chitta shuddhi. So activity is the only medicine for maturity. In a secluded life, there is no scope for that thing at all. If you become a sannyasi, go sit in an ashrama at the age of 20-22. No engagement of any of these things at all. You are very free. Somebody gives you bhiksha every day, no food problem. So every day you are secluded, you have nothing, no interaction with anybody else. So you don't have to worry about any other problem with your grahastha faces every day. So to that extent, you are not aware of those problems at all. So you think life is in this way only, in that one way only. Which is not true. So because there is no other play of raga dvesha in ashrama also, it is a stereotypical life for that person. In an ashrama life also, stereotypical person, there is no interaction with anybody. So no different types of people, no different opinions to be dealt with. Oh, because secluded life. Who is coming there? Maybe to the hermitage. Maybe 1%, 2% might visit in a day. Many times, many weeks may not, they may not even come. So you have no interaction at all of any kind. So you have no scope to learn anything. So our inner limitation will never be known in a secluded life. How you will conduct yourself in company? How will you conduct yourself in situations? When some confrontation comes, how you conduct yourself? You have no opportunity at all to know how you are, because you are never exposed to any of those things in a secluded life. So they will be all, they may remain deep in the heart, those reactions may be there. They had no opportunity to come out. At some time, when some sudden situation arises, then this person might explode. Then his real color would be known, because he was in secluded life, never he had the opportunity to express himself, to interact with anybody. Whereas when we come out, even in the family, there are differences of opinions. In the family, there are always wife and husband, there is difference of opinion. Mother and child, there is difference. Father and child, there is always difference of opinions. You are exposed to different confronting situations all the time. And immediately you may not be able to deal with it, but over a period of time, you may be able to tell perhaps your grandson. Grandsons may not listen to you, but you may at least think that this is what they should be doing. At least you may be able to think. So, for example, if you take a knife, you can never polish a knife on a foam. You have to polish a knife on a hard surface, on a rough surface only. Then only the knife gets polished. So if you have to polish ourselves, our behavior, you have to get exposed to situations. So in situations, how you conduct yourself, that only will teach you how you can efficiently conduct yourself in real life situations. Otherwise, everything will go hunky-dory, no problem. When something problem comes, then only how you are facing the situation will come. So remaining in the field of activity becomes inevitable. It has become a necessary condition for polishing of the personality. For polishing of the personality, remaining in the field of activity is a necessary condition, which alone we call it maturity. Which alone we call it as a mature person. And if without that maturity, if they are induced to Vedanta, what will happen? If Krishna is, if they are not going through this activity, they are exposed to Vedanta. They go to all these Upanishad classes and all these Gita classes. Without exposure to that, then what will happen? They will drop the karma without maturity. Because they have not gained maturity at all without action. Now without action, no maturity. So if they are going to get exposed to Vedanta, they have no maturity yet. Chitta Shuddhi has not come yet. They are going to be exposed to that. So what will happen? The sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is not there. It is not polishing them. They are not polished yet. So sadhana abhave sadhya abhavaha. So karma abhave chitta shuddhi abhavaha. Because there is no karma, no activity, chitta shuddhi has not happened to them. Purity of mind has not come to them yet. So leaving that karma, if they come to Vedanta, at least will they be able to get Vedanta jnanam if they ask the question. No, because we are all intelligent people, PhDs, no problem. We have done PhD in electrochemistry perhaps. So we have come here with all that knowledge. I come and sit in a Vedanta class. Can I get jnana? Yeah, I'm an intelligent person. Can I get jnana? That also is not possible, because they don't have the necessary condition for getting Vedanta jnanam at all. Necessary condition is not there. So jnanam also is not possible. Chitta Shuddhi also is not possible for such people, because they are not engaged in activity. Chitta Shuddhi is not possible. Okay, you put them in a Vedanta class, jnanam also is not possible for them, because that condition is not fulfilled for them. So neither worldly pressures for them, because that is not available. That is, Vishayananda is also not there, and Atmananda is never possible for them. So Vishayananda is worldly pressures. They don't get that also. Atmananda definitely is far, far, far away. So that person will become like a Trishanku. Because he is not engaged in activity also, he cannot go to Jnana Marga also. What will he do? He will be like a Karmi, spending the every day of life like that, 70, 80, 90, and kick out the bucket one day, that's it. So the purpose of having taken this birth will never get fulfilled for those people. That is the lot, anyway. The general lot is like that. So no doubt Vedanta is a direct means to liberation, but requires the help of karma. So every teacher must be very, very careful in teaching this. You cannot just sit in Upanishad class or a Vedanta class thinking that you will get liberated. Unless you go through karma and purify your mind, become a karma yogi. this is not going to help at all. It may cause damage. Everybody will say, oh, I know Vedanta, Aham Brahmasmi, I know. They know the words. They only know the words. They cannot live Aham Brahmasmi. If you know Vedanta, if you are a Vedantin, if you are a Jnani, a person should live Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Triptosmi, Aham Purnaha Asmi. Person should be able to say all the time, even in dream. Then only that Vedanta has helped them. Otherwise, it will be only academic. It will be only words. It cannot do any good to that person. So when he says that Vedanta is the solution for all problems, because that is the solution for all problems, the teacher should also say that Vedanta will help you only if you have certain basic things, basic requirements are there. Basic conditions have to be fulfilled. If you do not have them, better acquire them. If you have interest in getting liberated, if you want to gain moksha, if you want to gain jnana, if you want to do that, first acquire those abilities, acquire those qualifications, and then you will be able to reflect better when Vedanta is taught. So without sufficient warning, when the teacher gives Vedanta, then what he is doing? He is only confusing. He is only misleading the student. If these conditions are not given, if the teacher still teaches Vedanta to a person, then he is only confusing them, he is only misleading them. That is why Krishna says in this shloka, Na buddhi bedam janayet. Na buddhi bedam. May you not create confusion. Buddhi bedam. May you not create confusion in the intellect of the people. Na buddhi bedam janayet. Because what? The steps are what? Karma, karma leading to karma, to jnanam, to moksha. Karma, karma yoga, to jnanamarga and to moksha. So you dvaita first, then go to advaitam, to moksha. Practically dvaitam only people have to be taught first. If you teach advaitam to a person, just immediately he cannot relate to it at all. He's not qualified yet. So directly no one can be taught advaitam. Have to be taught only dvaitam. So initially we have to tell them that you and jiva, that you are a jiva, there is an Ishvara. There is Ishvara there, you are a jiva. And for all the actions, good and bad, that Ishvara is the karma pala data. Teach him that first. That Ishvara is looking at you. He is watching at you. He is going to give you the merits or the demerits of your actions. The palam part that he is going to give you. And you have to do all the activities surrendering to him. And receiving all the results as his prasada. Teach all that. So that bhakti part of it. And the Ishvara arpana buddhi part of it. The Ishvara prasada buddhi part of it. They all have to be gone through. A person has to go through all of them. In the beginning, Dvaita Shastram alone, that should be taught. And through Dvaita Jnanam, Dvaita Shastram, the polishing should take place. And through that polishing, there is like an apprentice course. You have to take them through that. And then once sufficient training has come, once I know that the person has got enough maturity to drop the Jiva Ishvara Vedam, once I know that, then, and once the person is capable of boldly owning up that I need not worship that Ishvara anymore, once he can own up that, because that Ishvara is not anything other than myself, when that person is ready to receive that knowledge, then if you teach him Aham Brahmasmi, it will make sense to him. Otherwise, it will never make sense to him. There will be only our words. Okay. So, it is a great statement. Aham Brahmasmi, great statement. But it cannot be made by everybody, and a teacher must introduce only when the student has reached that level of maturity, namely Chitta Shuddhi and Vairagyam, all those things. Till then, Advaita can be introduced only as a goal. It is the sadhyam, it is the goal. That Veda Buddhi must go. Veda Buddhi in everything. Veda Buddhi is not between Jiva and Ishvara. Veda Buddhi in real life. I am man, he is woman, I am better, he is. All those things should go. A person should be able to see only the spirit behind everything. That is why in our Sandhyavandana Karma, every day when people do Sandhyavandana, what they say? Asau Adityaha Brahma. Brahma Eva Ahamasmi. What is there so far away in that Surya? The temperature of, even surface temperature of Surya, people cannot measure. So bright and so hot. Whatever is the substance of that Surya, the internal content, not the gaseous matter, they are all matter. The spirit behind that sun and the spirit behind me, they both are one and the same. I am reminding myself every day. I should look at everything in creation that they are all divinities. I should look at everything in creation, that in creation there is no disparity at all. There is only disparity in what? In the form, in the name, and in the function. Nama, Rupa, and Karma, there are differences. But substantially, spiritually, there is no difference at all in all of them. So that is the Pandita. Panditaha, Samadarshinaha, Vidyagalaya Sampanne Brahmane, Gavi, Hastini, Swarichaiva, Swapakecha, Panditaha, Samadarshinaha. So whether it is a Vidyagalaya Sampanne Brahmane, a Brahmana who is well learned, a scholar Brahmana, Gavi, a polite, a docile cow, Hastini, a huge elephant, Swarichaiva, a dog, Swapakecha, a dog eater, a chandala. The Pandita looks at all of them as same. He knows their name, function, and rupa are different. But Chaitanyam is same in underlying in all of them. That Pandita knows. For him, Advaita Jnanam is part of him. For him, he knows, Aham Purnaha Asmi. I do not lack anything in life. Aham Pripto Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi. He knows. So to him, when a person reaches that stage, then he is a jnani, not until then. So without that, if he gives a blanket advice to him, the teacher gives a blanket advice, it will only confuse them. That's why Krishna says, buddhi bedam na janayet. Na janayet. Do not create confusion. Should not create confusion in the mind of people. Which people? Ajnana. To the ignorant people. To the ignorant people, do not cause confusion in them. They are immature. They are not ripe yet to get Vedanta jnanam. If you teach Vedanta to them, it is going to cause only confusion because of their ignorance. Karma sangina. They are very much interested in karma. They are still associated with karma because they are very much interested in what? The karma palam. Who is interested in action? Everybody is interested in the result of the action. If I do this, I am going to get that. Nobody is interested in action by itself. If I do this, I am going to get this. That is what they are interested in, the karma palam. No one will love karma without expecting the palam. Everybody wants something out of the karma, action they did. That means what? They are full of ragadveshas. They are attached to karma, ragadvesha. They like the karma, they don't dislike the karma. So vairagyam has not come to them at all. Dispassion has never come to these people. Okay? They are ajnanis. In fact, the word maturity, by that what we mean? We mean vairagyam. Dispassion is what we really mean. The most important criterion for maturity is what? Is vairagyam. You should be dispassionate with respect to any action that you do. As long as vairagyam has not come, if he is taken away from the society and put in a hermitage, secluded life, an ashram, he will be only physically in that place, but mentally, he is going to be wandering in the society elsewhere. Maybe in that restaurant, masala dosa is good. All those things is going to be in his mind. Even though you put him in a hermitage, in a seclusion, no problem. So he would be wondering, if I could be there, I would have enjoyed life much better than this. Here, see, look at this, in this place, nothing is there. Right? So, jayate, vishayan, pumsaha, all the time I am feeling that I am missing something. That's what he will be thinking. And looking at every other person enjoying the world, this person will become jealous also. He got into seclusion, still he will be jealous because he looks at everybody else as very happy. That's what he thinks. So it's going to be a very miserable life for him. So a person who really has renounced everything physically, but mentally, the renunciation has not come to such a person. So a grahastha is better off compared to him. He is much better off because he has raga and he enjoys. He has attachment. So he likes this and that. So he enjoys that, no problem. So it might go ultimately later perhaps, those enjoyments, he may lose their attachment later perhaps. But at least for the time being, he's enjoying. Whereas this person who is in the secluded life, he's not enjoying life also. For that person, it doesn't go also. It stays all the time, so it's a terrible life. So when a person has no vairagyam, no dispassion, he should be asked to do what? Karma. Do action, engage in the field of activity. When the person doesn't have vairagyam, ask him to be engaged in the field of activity. Do not teach Vedanta to him. If you teach Vedanta to him, it is not going to make any sense. Don't ask me why I am doing this. And so when a person has no vairagyam, he should be asked to do karma. And if you have desires, nothing wrong. Legitimately fulfill them. To have desires is not at all wrong. I have told all the time. To have kama desires is not at all wrong. But what is wrong? To let kama have you is wrong. If you let desire have you, then that's a problem. You can have desires. If you fall a prey to desires and you fall a slave to desires, then it's a problem. But you can have any number of desires. Fulfill them in a dharmic manner. In a legitimate manner, they can all be fulfilled, nothing wrong. So dharma, artha, even kama is accepted as purusharthas. Our purusharthas are what? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha is such a purusharta too. They are all allowed by shastras. You can have kama, no problem. Any desire you can fulfill so long as they are dharmic, guided by dharma. Only thing is what? Do them all with the proper attitude. Don't just be doing it as a karmi, but do it as a karma yogi. As Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, Ishwara Prasada Buddhi, have that all the time, have that detachment. So, Ishwara Arpana Buddhaya, Prasada Buddhaya cha, karma ni karma ni kuru. Do karma like that. Till Vairagyam comes. Till Vairagyam comes, keep on doing that. So, till Vairagyam comes, ask a person to remain in society. Don't ask him to go for a secluded life and ask him to have an ashrama life. No need. He should never be asked to take renunciation. And what should you do then? Joshayet, sarva karmani. Joshayet means persuade. You are a jnani now. Now, Krishna is talking to Arjuna as if he is a jnani. He is a wise person. So, what do? Joshayet, you persuade those people. Persuade all those people, karmani, to be in the field of karma. That is the duties. Ask them to engage in their duties. Whatever duties they are supposed to do, a grahastha's duties, all these people, brahmacharya's duties, ask them to engage in their duties. Sarva karmani joshayet. He should persuade the people into all activities, all dharmic activities, all their duties. Who should do that? Vidwan. A vidwan, a wise person should do. How? Samacharan. Doing the activity along with them. You don't just sit in one place and ask them to do. No. You show that you are also interested in their activity and engage with them. That is how you become a good teacher. You engage with them, shoulder to shoulder, stay with them and engage in the activity with them. So they get enthused, they get really convinced that what the teacher says, then only he becomes an acharya. Swayam acharati. The person, there are so many gurus, I have told this example to you. I used to have a friend who taught me driving. And he taught me driving, what he will say? Mani, do this, don't do this, all that he will say. But when he is driving, he will not stop for a stop sign. But he will tell me, Mani, do what I say, don't do what I do. He is a guru, alright, but he is not an acharya. Because he doesn't follow what he says. Whatever he teaches, he should follow. That is swayam acharati. A person who follows himself, he only becomes an acharya. So this vidwan, when he works shoulder to shoulder to the people, with the people whom he teaches, and then functions with them, then he will set a good example. Then only he will do it for loka sangraha. That is the duty of this jnani. That is the duty of this vidwan. So by doing his ashrama dharma, he should ask other people to do their ashrama dharma. If this jnani, if he is a sannyasi, if he is doing his sannyasa ashrama dharma, and if there is a student who is coming, who is a grahastha, what you should tell him? You engage in your grahastha ashrama dharma correctly. To a brahmachari, brahmachari ashrama dharma correctly. That is what you should teach. Whatever is their respective ashrama, that dharma they have to adopt. So some acharana, samyak acharana, sincerely by performing those karma. But when he sincerely performs, he should not fall into the trap of attachments. When the jnani does this karma, sincerely, he should never fall into the trap of attachment. Because when you do these things again and again and again, naturally, you may get tempted to get attached to that dharma. All these stories are all there. There was my deer was there. It just gave birth to its fawn and it died. So the rishi got attached to that fawn. He started to bring it up first with compassion. Later he became attached. So then later he had to be born as Jatapartha. All this, these things happen. You get attached because with whatever activity you do, over a period of time, you get attachment with that. Never do that. That's what he says. So yuktaha. Yuktaha means with the mind endowed with detachment. Here yuktaha means with the mind endowed with detachment, perform your duties. Do your duties with the mind engaged, endowed with detachment. So endowed with detachment with a total inner renunciation. That is detachment. With a total inner renunciation, a wise person should do his or her activity, inspiring other people to do their activities. So when this person does his or her activity, he will inspire others to do their activity always with detachment. So you do the activity the best way, but detachment. Then one can ask, if the jnani persuades the worldly people all the time to do karma, then how will they come out to jnana? You are telling them all the time, do karma, 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 karma. When will they come to jnana at all? Because jnana is the ultimate thing to get moksha. Now you are telling all the time, engage in activity. That's what you are telling. A jnani, if he has to tell the people all the time, engage in activity, when they will be able to come out to gain moksha? That question might arise. How will they come out at all? Then the jnani has to refer to jnanam as the ultimate goal. He has to refer to jnanam as the ultimate goal, vairagyam as the goal, and persuade the people to act. He has to give vairagyam as the goal and persuade the people to act. In due course, everybody will get vairagyam. In due course. For a period of time, people have to go through that to gain vairagyam. And once vairagyam comes, then they themselves will automatically give up. Once vairagyam comes, these people themselves automatically will give up. There will be a time when even if the jnani has to persuade them to do action, they will say no need. They are in that status now. They themselves will not like to get into activity anymore. Because once vairagyam comes, no one can stop the person from Vedanta. Once vairagyam comes, no one can stop a person from going to Vedanta. Automatically they will go. The mind will gravitate towards Vedanta. That is the nature of that person. And the mind will automatically withdraw. It will automatically withdraw from all worldly things. They may be still in the field of all the worldly actions, but they will naturally withdraw from all worldly pleasures. That means yoga kshema bhukti will be gone. Always to gain something and to protect that, all this yoga kshema. You know, in India, the insurance corporation, they call yoga kshema building. I think that's what in Bombay there's a building, yoga kshema building. So yoga is what? You have to always acquire things. And having acquired things, you have to protect them. So that's what they are. Because you acquire a lot of things with hard work. Having acquired, you have to protect them. So this is yoga kshema. So that buddhi will be gone. He will not worry about protecting anything. There is no need for him at all. So jnana buddhi will come. He will not go after any of these material benefits. So everything will take its own course. It cannot be overnight. You cannot force a flower or a fruit to ripe overnight. It has to take its own time. Then only a flower will blossom or a fruit will ripen. It has to take its time. You cannot expect it overnight to happen. It cannot be done any time at all so quickly. It will take its own course depending on the sadhana. How sincere a person puts the effort, it will take its own time. Prakriti, yes please.
Jnani, actually when he is performing the real world actions,
so in sloka 27 and 28, Krishna, he clearly distinguishes the action of a jnani and the action of an ajnani. He distinguishes the actions both of them. What is the difference? Actually, we have already indicated earlier, ajnani has got attachment. Jnani has got detachment. That is the difference. Ajnani has got attachment to the action. Jnani has detachment to the action. So one is saktaha. Ajnani is saktaha and the other one is asaktaha. Thus the difference has been already indicated actually in the 25th shloka we have already seen it. But in the following two shlokas, 27 and 28, Krishna wants to differentiate them technically. So the previous one is a general difference. It's a layman difference. Now Krishna is going to go through a technical understanding of how this differentiation comes about. For example, advanced people, like you know our class, you know, we are all asking, advanced people are asking, with a clean background of Tattva Bodha, if they have all understood Tattva Bodha to some extent at least, we talked in the beginning. From Tattva Bodha angle, what is the difference between, because Tattva Bodha is the Vedantic angle. From that angle, what is the difference between Jnani's action and an Ajnani's action? They may ask this question. So that answer is given here. And in this shloka, Ajnani's action is defined. This shloka defines Ajnani's action. Next shloka will define Ajnani's action. 27 is Ajnani's action. And to understand this actually, we should remember some portion of Tattva Bodha which I talked in the beginning. I will only just refresh that. We are not going to do Tattva Bodha class here. We will only refresh what we taught earlier. So what did we see in Tattva Bodha at that time? We saw that every individual has got two aspects. Every individual, every person has got two aspects. One is the Atma part of it, the consciousness part of it, and the other one is Anatma part of it, the body part of it. The body is Anatma and the consciousness is Atma. The Shariram is body, that is Anatma. Shariri is Atma, the consciousness. The Shariri name also we have seen earlier, Dehi, all those names we have seen earlier. So, the Shariram body consists of again three bodies. What are the three bodies? The gross body is Stula Shariram, the subtle body is Sukshma Shariram, and the Kasad body, the Karana Shariram. These are the three bodies. And how did the Shariram, the body itself, come into being? We saw that also slightly. How it was created? That also how we saw at that time, it is created by the three gunas. These are three gunas. Sattva guna created what? The mind and the sense organs. The mind and the sense organs evolved from the sattvic qualities, sattva guna. From the rajoguna, rajasic aspect, what happened? Pranas, the five different physiological functions, prana, prana, apana, jnana, udana, samana, the panja pranas and the organs of action, they evolved from the rajoguna. And from the tamoguna, it created the grass body. This is how the body evolved. So the three bodies, the tamoguna is responsible for the grass body, and the subtle, the rajoguna is responsible for the five physiological functions. I described at that what they are, and also the organs of action, and the sattvaguna is responsible for the jnanendriya, sense organs, and the mind intellect. So, if you don't remember, doesn't matter. This you take it from me, this enough. Now, this okay. Okay, otherwise, this will become another Tattva lecture. We cannot do that now. So, in short, what we want to say, from Maya, Prakriti alone, through these three gunas, all of them are creators. From Maya, this is the Prakriti, all these things are created. And Maya is only inert matter. Understand that. Consciousness is the conscious matter. Maya is inert matter, and therefore the five elements which are born out of Maya, they are all inert matter. Five elements, they are all inert matter, and their gunas, they are also inert in nature. So the five elements are inert, their gunas are nature. And their modification, when the five elements, when they modify, then that shariram, that body, that is also inert matter. So, the modified five elements is the body. That is also inert matter because it came out of inert matter. Right? So, we saw the Maya is the instrument for the creation of this body through the modification of these gunas. Okay? Various gunas. So, our body is what? Maya. Maya's modification is our body. So is the mind. So is the intellect. So, in fact, every instrument we use is only a modification of Maya. Which is inert. Okay, if every instrument is Maya's modification, then what about me, who is using these instruments? See, I am using my sense organs. I am using my hand. I am using my eyesight. I am using my mind. Who am I? That is the question. So, the user of the instruments, I am the user of the instruments, that in the Tadubhada Visa, that the user of the Shariram, the body, the capital I, is the conscious principle. So, the conscious principle alone enables the eye to see, the ears to hear, the hand to touch, all that thing. What does the conscious principle does? Without that, it cannot do. So, that is what it says. So, this Atma Tattvam, that is the Shariri, that enables all these things to happen. So, the body, I may make the body, which make use of the body, which is inert, which is the product of Maya, by consciousness. So, the body being inert, I can make use of the body through my consciousness. So, I, the consciousness, the user of the shariram, the Atma, the Shariri, all these things are all same. The Shariri, Dehi, consciousness, Atma, all are same. Okay? The conscious principle, that I, that is born out of what? We said that body is born out of Maya and the three gunas. Now, the consciousness I is born out of what? Because we said every person has two aspects, right? The conscious principle and the body principle. Body is Anatma. Anatma is born out of Maya. This I, consciousness, is born out of what? Is it born out of Maya? Or from the Panchabhutas? That would be the question. And we should remember the second chapter we already saw. న జాయతే మ్రియతే వా కదాచిత్ నాయం భూత్వా యది వా బాణభోయ. సో ది బాడీ ఈస్ నాట్ బాన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీథింగ్ న జాయతే ది కాన్ సారీ ది కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ నాట్ బాన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఇట్ వాస్ బాన్ నాట్ బాన్ అట్ ఆల్ ఇట్ నెవర్ హ్యాడ్ అ బర్త్ అట్ ఆల్ ద కాన్షియస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ the consciousness principle or the atma had never a birth, it never had a birth at all. Who am I? Brahman itself. I am the Brahman itself. When that Brahman itself is behind this body, when that Brahman or consciousness or atma or devi shariri is behind this body, that very Brahman is called the atma. The atma, the shariri, the dehi, capital I. If you are having association with your body as yourself, then you are small I. I am so-and-so. The crooked I. Small I is crooked I. But if you put the straight big I, capital I, that is consciousness principle. You and that body are separate. So, I am Brahman behind the body, which is a modification of Maya. That is what you should understand us. Everybody should understand themselves. I am Brahman who is behind this body, which is a modification of Maya and which is inert. Okay. And therefore, whenever we do any activity, what exactly does that activity is the next question. So I do some activity, right? That activity is done by whom? I, the capital I, am doing it, or the body is doing it? That will be the next question. Correct? Because I am a mixture of these two things. I am a mixture of both the conscious principle and the body principle. So now who is everybody is a mixture of Atma and Anatma, Shariri and Shariram, Dehi and Deha. I am giving all these words again and again so that you will remember. The spirit and matter. Everybody is a mixture of these two. So if the individual is a mixture of spirit and matter, what exactly does activity? What exactly really acts? Is the matter acts or the spirit acts? That's the question. So really speaking, both of them cannot act independently. Neither matter nor chaitanyam or consciousness, neither of them can act independently. Consciousness can never do any action. Consciousness can never do any action. Nitya sarvagataha sthanuhu achaloyam sanatanaha. You have seen all that thing earlier. Abhyaktoyam, achintyoyam, avikaryoyam, all those things we have seen. All those, the second chapter, we have seen all of them. So in fact, actually Tattva Bodha itself, it is summarized, the entire Tattva Bodha is summarized in second chapter 12 to 25. Shlokas, the Sankhya portion, Sankhya Yoga portion of second chapter, that summarizes the entire Tattva Bodha. Now can the matter, okay, consciousness is not acting, we have seen. Then can the matter intelligently act by itself? Because spirit and matter, spirit is not acting, we have seen. Can the matter act? Then what really, if that matter cannot act also by itself, right? Then what really acts? So in the presence of me, the consciousness, the chaitanyam, all the instruments, the hearing faculty, the seeing faculty, the touching faculty, the smelling faculty, all these instruments, they are all independently capable, they are all capable of acting intelligently in presence of me, the chaitanyam. So in presence of the consciousness, all these things can act. They all can act. Independently, none of them are capable of acting. They all can act in my presence. So the inner buddhi, the buddhi, the innate intellect, it becomes an intelligent intellect. Intelligent buddhi in the presence of me, the consciousness. So the innate mind becomes an emotionally endowed mind in presence of consciousness. So same way, the innate body becomes a functioning body in presence of chaitanya. Okay? So none of them can independently work or do anything. So in the presence of, in my presence, all the shariyams, all the three bodies are active. The gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, they are all active in my presence. But I myself am akarta abhokta. I am not at all acting. You see how nicely it is that? All the bodies are capable of acting in my presence, but I myself am akarta. I am not doing anything, I am not acting anything, and abhokta. Because I am not acting, I am not enjoying anything either. So, for example, when the in many offices we see, when the boss comes and sits, everybody, all the computers will function, everybody will function. People normally ask, how many vacation days you have got? I have got myself two weeks vacation, and I have got 3 weeks of my boss's vacation also. So when the boss comes, everybody works. When the boss leaves, nobody works. So in presence of the boss, everybody works. So in presence of me, all these bodies, they all function. Me, the consciousness. When consciousness is not there, they are all not functioning. So same thing everywhere. The fact is what? Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Akarta Abhokta. I am not at all a doer. But Shariram is modification of Maya, and that acts, and I do not act, and that acts only in my presence. So who is doing work now? In combination. Right? So matter cannot work independently. Chaitanya does not work at all, does not act at all. So if any work is performed, that is performed in combination of this consciousness and the body. Okay, that is it. So in this loka, Krishna refers to the body as prakriti gunaha. That is the word he is using it here. Prakriti gunaha. Gunaha means modification here. Guna is not just quality or anything. Here guna means modification, vikaraha, and prakriti means maya. So the maya, the modification of maya, modification of prakriti. So prakriti means maya, guna means modification. So the body is prakriti gunaha, modification of maya. The body is what? It's the modification of maya. So prakritehe gunaha, prakritehe vikarabhutaha. We can call any other. So therefore, what is doing the activity now? Prakritehe gunaha is doing activity. The modification of the inert matter, the inert body and instruments are doing varieties of activities, whereas aham, which is neither prakriti nor prakriti guna, I, who am Brahman, the Purusha, I do not engage in any activity at all. That is what we should understand clear. But what happens is the fact. I do not know that I am Brahman. Ignorance. I have ignorance of myself. I do not understand I am Brahman, and I neither prakriti nor prakriti vikara, I do not understand any of them. I take myself to be the prakriti vikara or prakriti gunaha, prakriti karyam. That's what I take the body. I take myself to be the body. When somebody asks, who are you? I am 5 feet, so many inches tall, so many pounds. All these describe the body. They don't describe me, the Chaitanya. I take myself to be the body. The moment I identify myself with the body, since the body is karta and bhokta, because body is the doer, body is the enjoyer. Bhokta, enjoyer, karta, doer. I will also identify myself to be karta and bhokta, because I identify myself with the body. If I identify myself with the Chaitanyam, the spirit, I will never claim to be a karta, a doer, a bhokta also. So when I see a movie, for example, I know that my family, you know, everything is fine with the family, no problem. Everything is fine. But in the hero's family in the movie, something is wrong, so many things are happening. What do? You also cry with him. It is somebody else's family. You associate yourself with the hero's life. You associate yourself that you are in that position. That is what we do in real life. We associate, we think that we are this body. We do all the time. So the moon is developed in a very, very nice way, right? During the middle, all these things are happening and you cry. You may kick people also. Maybe if there is some fight going on, you may kick the guy sitting next to you. So the way we try to apply brakes, for example, when you drive, you have somebody else sitting, you are sitting in the driver's, co-driver's seat, right? Driver, he is driving. So you expect that guy to brake at some point. He is not braking. Now you push your leg. You are not even driving. So especially when you sit with the children, when they drive and you are with them, you think that, yeah, actually their alertness and reflexes are much sharper than us. But we are used to thinking this way, this kind of conventional wisdom, right? So this is called Tadatmyam in Vedanta. Vedanta, this kind of association is called Tadatmyam. So even though I am Akarta and Abhokta in reality, as conscious principle, when I identify myself with the body, I become Karta and Abhokta. Okay. And this new Aham, the new Aham means what? Associating yourself with Karta, Abhokta. That is called Ahankara. That is called Ahankara, called ego. This is called ego. So what is the definition of ego? Karyam, Karana, Sangata, Tadatmya, Apannaha, Ahankaraha. The person who thinks that he is the Karta and he is the Bhokta. He is the Ahankaraha. So, Karya, Karana, Sangata with respect to body, and Sharire, Aham, Buddhi. That I am the body consciousness, that awareness, that I am the body. So what is the difference between a jnani and an ajnani? For a jnani, aham means akarta abhokta. I am not doer, I am not enjoyer, this is the jnani. Whereas ajnani thinks, I am the karta, I am the bhokta, I am the doer. So for an ajnani, aham means kartri bhoktri shari. The one who is, I am the doing the work, I am the enjoyer, which is called ahankara. So once the ahankara comes to play, then what comes? Once ahankara comes to play, the ahankara begins to feel various problem situations in life. Like what? I am limited. Ahankara feels, I am limited. I am only, because I am only what? Whatever is the physical limitation of me. I am young. I am old. You know, I have a wife. I have a relationship. All those things I think the moment ahankara comes. Right? The moment ahankara comes, somebody is my child. Ahankara is there. Mamakara is there. My child. The neighbor's child comes and does all the same activity, something like that. Talk something. You know, what do you say normally? Oh, neighbor's child, you know, right at the young age, he is talking as if it is a 70-year-old person. Neighbor's child. When your own child talks, what do you say? My child, you know how mature right at this young age. Same thing. Because my child. My child. Because my child is my, qualifies that. So the ahankara and mamakara defines your relationships, the way you behave, the way you do things, all these things are controlled by this ahankara. So ahankara has relationships.
How will you differentiate between, like, you have a duty towards your child, you have to do it as a parent, and how will you differentiate between the ego and the duty?
Yeah, it's not different. Actually, it is naturally there every time for us. Duty to bring up the child is fine, but you have to correct the child when the child does not do things correctly. So that is your duty. It's a duty. It's not, you are, as a mother, you have to do that. But you have the attachment to the duty. This is where actually in the Bhagavatam, actually this Medas, this Rishi, Surataha is a king, and Samadhi, a Vaishya, they both go to this Medas, and the Samadhi, what happened is family betrayed him, so this guy is all in distress, so he comes. And Surataha, he lost his kingdom and all, he also comes to the forest, they both go to this thing. And this Medas, he tries to teach them. Yes. So he asks him to see that a tree, where there is a beautiful pair of birds, and these two birds, they are very happy, and they have got their younglings, and they go everywhere to fetch food for the youngling, and with a lot of effort, they make these younglings open their mouth and insert food so much, so that they want the youngling to, you know, come up, all that things it does. After maybe once the younglings can fly, they just fly wherever they want to go. The mother bird and the father bird, they don't even know where they are gone now. They don't have any connection with them. Why this reason? Why? What is it to learn from here? When the bird feeds that child, the bird has no expectation from the child. It does it as a duty. I am the mother. I have to feed, I have to protect the child, I am bringing it up. And when the child can independently exist, it just goes away. The mother bird doesn't feel anything, the child also, it has gone somewhere. It has gone with its own life. Whereas with humans, every parent has an expectation of the child. When the child grows up, you take so much of trouble to bring the child. It is duty. But along with the duty, we also have the expectation of. And when the expectation is not there, then you will enjoy the duty. When you have expectation from the child, you will see, I have told so much, he's not listening, he's not even sending one. In this country, on Mother's Day, one rose comes, right? On Mother's Day alone. Next Mother's Day, no talk. Mother's Day, one rose will come. Oh, my child, son remembered me. The mother is in some nursing home, my son remembered me. Right? So, expectation. We all have expectation. When a guy grows a coconut tree, he has expectation. Why he has to put water and all that thing, grows a coconut tree? After my 5 years, 10 years, it is going to give him a lot of coconuts. He is going to have some benefit out of it. So even bringing up child, humans have this expectation. Because it is my child. My child has to protect me. I am protecting my child today. He has to protect me later. He has to do these things for me. Because he is my child. You are not expecting the neighbor's child. Your child. So once you have that expectation, problems come. So you do your duty means what? You do without any expectation. So the moment you are in, you feel sorry, you feel unhappy, that means your expectation not fulfilled. If you have done your duty alone, you will have no sorrow. Right? So that is the difference. I take some practical examples. This is true also in real life. Many times this happens. Okay. So all the times there is struggle going on. So the activity of the Ajnani, there is always struggle going on because he is in Ahankara all the time. He is struggling and struggling all the time, trying to earn some money, trying to make a living and pacify his wife and children and all these people. And that always they are growing, always there are growing demands. If there is today, there is this video game, tomorrow there is another game. So he has to buy that, he has to buy. Never stops, goes on doing it. So this day always struggles to fulfill the desires of the members of the family. So struggle is going on all the time. So to convert the limited ahankara into infinity. His ahankara originally was the limited ahankara only. But that has become infinite because how? It always works that way. You can never pacify them. Always wants are more, your desires are more, go on trying to fulfill them. So ahankara can never be made into purnatvam at all. As long as ahankara is there, you can never get fulfillment. It always will be there. And the struggle continues forever. It will never be stopped. Whereas in the case of, this is for ajnani, for an ignorant person. In the case of ajnani, it is totally different. Now look at the shloka, Kriyamanani karmani. All the actions done by us belong to whom? Prakritehe gunaihi. Are done by the modifications of prakriti, which means the three bodies. All my actions are not done by me. They are done by the modification of prakriti, means the three bodies, the sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karna shariram. My body does all these. Anatma does. Prakritehe gunaihi. So, karyam, karana sangatam, akaram, all these things, the parinataiki, all these things they do. So, the prakriti gunas, which are the sthula, sukshma, karana shariras, kriyamanani, karmani, all the actions done by us belong to the matter alone, body. Body is matter, inert matter. So, they all belong to the body only. Sarvashaha, by all means, they belong to the body only. Whether it is a sacred karma, you are doing a big homa. Or you do lot of social activity. There are sacred karmas. Helping the poor, educating your poor child. All are sacred karmas, noble karmas, secular karmas, all of them, Vaidik karma, anything you can talk, all those activities belong to what? The body, which is anatma. They all belong to body, anatma. Not that noble actions are done by atma, because atma doesn't do any action. Whether it is a noble action or ignoble action, they are all done by only anatma, the shariram, the body. So whereas this person, Krishna calls him a fool. This fool, Krishna calls him Ahankara Vimudhatma. He calls him Ahankara Vimudhatma. Here Atma means mind, not the Satchidananda Atma, not consciousness. Atma here means Vimudhatma, Atma. That means it is a mind which is utterly confused, Vimudha. That mind is utterly confused. Because what? Ahankara means Dehe Tadatmyam. The person associates himself with the body. This individual whose mind is completely confused because of his identification with the body. This person, this ajnani, karta aham iti manyate. He thinks I am the doer. He considers himself as if he is the doer. That's what he thinks because he is ignorant. Karta aham iti manyate. This is the karma of every ajnani. Every ignorant person, he thinks that he is a doer, he is a fool. That's what Krishna says. So even in the case of a karma yogi, not just karmi alone, a karma yogi, ahankara is bound to be there for him. He is not a jnani yet, so he will have ahankara. He will have ahankara. Ahankara will go away only when Vedanta Vichara comes. Only when a person goes through jnana yoga. Once a person gets jnanam, then only ahankara. So a karma yogi is a better karta. That is true. Between a karmi and a karma yogi is a better karta. He is a better doer. Whereas a karmi is a foolish karta. We can say that much. Karma yogi is a better karta, but he is still a karta, an ajnani. Karma yogi may be an intelligent karta, perhaps. Okay. Jnani is a karta. He is not a doer at all. Okay. So karma yogi and karmi both have ahankara. Jnani has aham brahmasmi iti jnana. That's what jnani has. Now from this we can easily interpret actually the action of a jnani also. Jnani does not have ahankara. Jnani has ahankara. Jnani does not have ego. Therefore, actions will go on and on. For the Jnani, actions will go on, but he will say, in my presence, all the instruments act. In my presence, Chaitanyam, my presence of consciousness, my eyes can see, my ears can hear, my nose can smell in my presence. That's what Jnani says. He is able to see his own body as separate from himself. As I am able to see your body separate from me, the Jnani is able to see his own body also as separate from himself. For anybody to see somebody else's body separate from him, there is not a big deal. It's different. Whereas to see your own body as separate from yourself, the consciousness, that requires Jnani. That the Jnani can do. So, aham na karomi, aham na karayami. I am not doing anything. I am not an agent for somebody to do anything either. The Jnani knows. He is Chaitanya Swarupa. He can understand. I am not an agent to do anything. I am also not doing anything myself. So, aham nityaha sarvagataha sthanuhu. He knows that. Bodies may come, bodies may go. Same thing, minds may come, minds may go, so is buddhi, but I am ever unchanging Chaitanyam. That the Jnani understands. But I am not involved in any one of them. With this awareness, the Jnani acts. So he is also in the field of activity, but he acts with this detachment, with this notion, with this understanding. That's what he does. So this is known as detachment. This detachment is what? Ahankara abhavaha. That is detachment. Then we say detachment, that is meant by the ahankaratvam. That has to go. So ahankara abhavaga eva is asaktatvam. So detachment is nothing but the absence of ahankara. So when we say detachment and attachment, we should understand detachment is absence of ahankara. You have attachment because you have ahankara. When there is no attachment, it is ahankara, is not there. So actually we should also understand one more incident point, which actually we are going to discuss elaborately later. Karma yogi also is supposed to have detachment. That is, karma yogi and jnani, we have to see this difference. Karma yogi also has detachment. Jnani also is supposed to have detachment. Because we already saw in the second chapter, yogastha guru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddha siddhyo samobhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. That yoga was karma yoga. Right? Karma yogi also is supposed to have detachment. Jnani also is supposed to have detachment between these two. Then what is the difference between the detachment between a karma yogi and a jnani? That you have to understand clearly. This we will see in the next shloka, in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti lingasya parasamaheshwara. Yes.